You are listening to the teaching ministry of Bay Ridge Christian Church. The following teaching is part of the series, The Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gave us not only a prayer to recite, but a pattern for our own prayers. This simple prayer shows us the proper focus and themes that should fill our prayers, and the concerns that should shape our lives as His followers. For more teachings and resources, please visit www.bayridgechristianchurch.org.
Today's text is going to be Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. But what we're going to do is we're doing throughout this series, we're going to stand together and recite the Lord's Prayer. I have it up here on the screen, though most of us know it together. But let's stand up together and we're going to recite the whole Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to look specifically at the petition in verse 11. So let's now recite the prayer given to us by our Creator and our Redeemer, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I want to begin by thanking our guests who are here with us. We're always glad to have visitors here with us and pray that God will bless you today and this week. Especially we're thankful for having our guests from Winter Relief with us. It's been our privilege to be with you all this week and be able to serve you and get to know you and just spend time with you. And we pray God's blessings on you. And for all of our visitors, we're doing a series here on the Lord's Prayer. This is actually the second part in our series, as we're moving through and take a look at, the third part. And today we're going to be looking at, this one section in verse 11. And we're going through this prayer where Jesus is giving us a model for prayer. He's teaching us about prayer, but also about life. And last week we saw that we prayed to our Father in heaven. In the first part of the series, we saw that, we pray to our Father who is in heaven, and that is both a privilege to us that God receives us as a father, but he's also the all-powerful father. He is a God who is able to hear and to respond to our prayers. We saw that the first half of the prayer is actually all about God and about his kingdom. If I took each petition and broke it up, we would spend 6 weeks on the petitions, and the first three of them would all be about God and his kingdom. We wouldn't be asking anything for ourselves, although as we saw that when we pray these things to not be hypocrites, I have to be asking that they would be true in my life. It's not enough to pray that God's will be done in somebody else's life. I have to pray that I would be obeying it as well. But we saw that God, our Father, opens up, tells us to look to his kingdom, and is a loving father who is open to our needs. And so today we're going to begin the first of three times of looking at the petitions that Jesus teaches us to pray regarding our own needs. And so today we'll start by looking at this focus on a prayer for our daily bread, a prayer for our daily bread. Now, if you notice here in Matthew 6:11, Jesus says that we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Now, the word bread here, when you think of, you know, just give us bread, as Americans, we would think, well, I might want a little bit more than just bread. And bread, actually, the word means bread, but it also came to mean just food in general. They use the term bread as the basic thing because that was the basic staple. That's the basic part of your diet. If you've ever eaten kind of in a Middle Eastern fashion, you notice that even really most of the rest of your meal, you dip bread into it and you eat with the bread. Bread is not only your food, it's also kind of the utensil. It's everything in the meal. It's the central part of what is going on. And so bread here is certainly includes all food, but it's really what is known as a synecdoche. And I'm not going to explain that because I know everybody here uses that word on a daily basis, right? A synecdoche is a part that represents the whole. Okay. I grew up on a farm and you would ask farmers, how many head of cattle do you have? And they would say, I have 100 head of cattle. That did not mean if you went out there, there were 100 heads sitting there, no other part of the cow. That just was a way of referring to all of the cow. We do this sometimes in politics. If you hear on TV, you'll hear today Washington said X, Y, and Z. Well, that doesn't just mean that the city of Washington, D.C. said. What they're saying is this is America's position on this issue. And Jesus is doing the same thing here. When he's saying we are to pray for our daily bread, that is a synecdoche, a part that represents the whole. It was the most basic thing. If you didn't have bread, you didn't have the stuff you needed to live. Jesus is here saying, you come to God and you ask him for the things you need for life. Your needs you bring to your Father. Now, this is a great thing for us to know. As we saw last week, the prayer begins by focusing so much on us looking at the kingdom of God. But here, Jesus is taking a turn. He's saying, look, he is your Father in heaven. You are to focus on his kingdom and his righteousness, but God wants you to know you can bring your needs to him. He knows what you need, and he wants you to come and lay those before him. And our loving Father knows our needs, and he delights to hear and answer. Remember, this is in the context of our Father who is in heaven. You are not coming to a judge who is delighting to nitpick your prayer and take it apart theologically and try and find a reason to deny. That is not the heart of God. His heart in giving his son for you and me is that I can come and say, Father, here are my needs. And he delights to hear that. He delights to respond to that. He delights to answer and to meet your needs and mine. That is the heart of our Father. Never, ever forget that. Never lose that. The basis of prayer for Christians is that we have a God who is open, a God who is receptive. And so much teaching on prayer is, you know, seven ways to write your ticket with God. Whole wrong approach right from the beginning. This is not a thing of trying to figure out the right key to get in there and somehow twist God's heart and make it where all of a sudden he decides he wants to answer. He's already predisposed to answer. His heart is to respond to us. Now, sometimes as a father, if you've been a parent, you know, sometimes the response needs to be no, because what the child wants is not necessarily what's best. But even when you say no, you're doing it out of a father's heart, not out of being stingy. So Jesus says, bring our request to God. Now, notice as we go through this phrase, I want to kind of take each one of these words. It's not only our daily bread, but we are to recognize here that God gives us everything that we have. Jesus here says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, that means that we're recognizing I didn't get the bread on my own. I didn't get my food on my own. I didn't get my basic needs and necessities on our own. They are given to us by God. And so this prayer then, this pattern that Jesus is laying out is saying, when you are talking to your Father, recognize that everything you have comes from him. He even gave you your most basic necessities. And if he's the one that gave you bread, what else that you have came from him? Everything. You couldn't even get your own most basic necessities on your own, but rather you trust that God gives them to us. Now, Americans sometimes struggle with this because, of course, we're kind of, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and we've kind of got that mentality. We say, well, if we're praying and God gives us, then does that mean that I don't have to work? And the answer is no. This prayer is not saying I don't work to provide for my family or to provide for my needs or to take care of others. And there's three reasons in the scripture why it's true. Number one, God simply commands us to work hard. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians, we won't look there, but he says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Okay, we're called to be hard workers. Number two, as we've been seeing throughout this prayer, Jesus has put this in the context of how the hypocrites pray. And if I'm praying one thing and living another, that's hypocrisy. So if I'm praying, God, I need for my needs to be met, but I say, I'm not going to do the things you've commanded, God says, then you're not really serious about your prayer any more than if I say, your kingdom come, your will be done, but I'm not going to do your will. I'm not going to obey. I'm going to go my own way. God says, then you're not really serious about my kingdom coming. And then the third reason is, as always, faith produces works. If I trust that God gives to me, that never undercuts a desire for me to be actively engaged. Sovereignty of God never undermines the responsibility of man. Faith never undermines work. Rather, trusting in the sovereignty of God produces a freedom for me to be responsible and to act. Trusting that God provides, having faith in God, frees me up to be able to labor and to work hard, knowing my works don't produce any righteousness before God, but they are the result of my faith. And so all of that is true, okay? And you know, Americans want to hear that we're supposed to work, but in this petition, Jesus is reminding us that even when we work in the recognition that if God does not bless and God does not provide, all my work's going to be in vain. God is the one who provides for me. John Calvin, in his commentary on this verse, wrote this. I'm going to quote it at length. It's worth hearing. Calvin said, "The fields must, no doubt, be cultivated. Labor must be bestowed on gathering the fruits of the earth, and every man must submit to the toil of his calling in order to procure food. But all this does not hinder us from being fed by the undeserved kindness of God, without which men might waste their strength to no purpose. We are thus taught that what we seem to have acquired by our own industry is His gift." Believers need to have this emblazoned on our hearts. I do my labor because God has called me to this particular labor. But I recognize at the end of the day that what I have is His gift. And it is never because of my own superior wisdom, my own superior righteousness, my better labors. And if you travel around very far, you will certainly see that, you know, there are times you work really, really hard and it comes to naught. And then other times, quite honestly, you kind of skate by and the blessing of God falls. And it works. That's simply the way life is. And so Jesus here is reminding us we are called to cry out to God to meet our daily necessities as a reminder to us that everything we have, everything we are, is the gift of God to us. And at the end of the day, we are to have gratitude for what we have. Now, the third thing is, notice that we not only are crying out for our basic needs and recognizing that they are given to us by God, but we do this daily. It's a daily prayer for bread, a daily prayer for our basic necessities. Jesus here says, "Give us this day our daily bread." So twice in here, not just once, but twice, he mentions that this is daily bread. It is done daily. So this is not something that, well, I become a Christian and I one time pray and say, "God, I need you to meet my needs. Amen. And now I go on my way." Jesus says, no, every day you come back to God and you ask God to meet your needs. And let me say here, there's a reason for this. You and I need to be reminded of the gospel how often? Every day, because your basic bent, and so is mine, is to try and justify myself before God. My basic religion, the basic religion of all human beings, is that my works are somehow going to justify me before God. And so I don't need to be reminded about my works. What I need to be reminded about is the grace of God and the gospel. Well, the same thing is true here. We have a bent to not be in gratitude. We have a bent to believe that I'm accomplishing my own thing. And Jesus is saying, no, you need to be reminded every single day by saying, "God, I need you to meet my needs. God, I need you to bless the work of my hands. God, I need you to be providing for me." It is every day we ask for this bread. Now, the word daily that's used here in the King James and also in the New International Version, it's possible that that word may mean necessary. In other words, it could be, "Give us this day our necessary bread." The reason we're not exactly sure is this is one of these weird Greek words. It's the first time it's ever used in the Greek language is in this prayer. And the only time it's ever used in the Greek language is in this prayer here and in Luke, and then in Christians talking about it in later centuries. So it makes it a little bit hard to know exactly what the word is. We kind of have to break it down and say, okay, well, what are the parts of the word and exactly what does it mean? And scholars like to argue all over that. But I would say that while it's possible it means necessary, the context seems to indicate that it's really for a prayer for either today's bread or the coming day's bread. In other words, if I'm praying it in the morning, give me today's bread, Sunday's bread. But if I'm praying it tonight, I would be saying, God, when I wake up tomorrow on Monday morning, I need you to be meeting my basic needs. I need you to be watching over in the coming day. So it could be either one of those, but the basic idea seems to be, I need bread for today. And if we look in the parallel version in Luke 11:3, it's even stronger there because Luke puts it this way, give us each day our daily bread. And the phrase each day is very emphatic there in the Greek to say it's each and every day. Sunday's bread is good for when? Sunday. And on Monday, I need to wake up and ask God to give me Monday's bread, or I can ask him on Sunday night. I need bread tomorrow, but then tomorrow night, I got to ask him for Tuesday, okay? It's each and every day I need God to meet my bread. Now, this should remind you of something. Is there any time in the scripture where we see God giving bread enough for one day at a time? Manna in the wilderness. That's exactly, and Jesus seems to be alluding to that here. In Exodus 16:4, we read, this is one of many places, but we read this where the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I'm going to test them and see whether they'll follow my instructions. And you remember, of course, how well did they do in following God's instructions? It's the same story in the Bible over and over and over again. They went right out and didn't listen, and some of them tried to gather enough for 2 days, and God said, can't do that. Only on the Sabbath can you rest and not do that. The other days, it's one day at a time, and when they tried to gather and hold it up, it all turned to nasty maggots in there, and God said, I told you, trust me each day, go out each day, I will provide for you each day. And Jesus, reflecting on that, says, look, you are to pray and to trust daily. Now, if you're like me, I don't like this. I don't. God, can't we just go ahead and work it out? I'm really, really grateful. I'm really, really thankful. How about like 3 or 4 years provision? How about 3 or 4 decades provision, Lord? And I promise I'll come back and talk to you once in a while about it. God, having dealt with us for a long time, knows how that works. He's more interested, please hear me, he is more interested in the relationship than anything else. And so he says, I give you enough for today because I want you to keep walking with me. The same principle, we won't turn there, but in Psalm 119, it gives the thing, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Okay, notice in that analogy, how much light am I given? Enough for the next step or two. Now, what do we want? I want floodlights flipped on and to see the next 10 miles. I like that. That is definitely my personality. Okay? This is a confession of sin before you all. Okay? I don't like this walking by faith thing. Unfortunately for you, I don't set the rules. Well, fortunately for you in most cases. In this case, unfortunately for you, because God has said it, he expects you to come to him each and every day because he wants you to walk by faith, not by sight. And more than anything, he wants you to walk hand in hand with him. And so he says, every day, come to me. Every day, talk with me, because what's most important is father-child relationship. I'm asking you to have time with me. And so Jesus says, come to the Father every single day. And if you remember, we won't turn there, but in Deuteronomy 8:3, God says, this is actually why I gave the manna every day. He said, I did it to see, so that you would understand that you live by the every word that comes from my mouth. It's not by bread you live. It's actually from me because I give it to you. Jesus quotes that in the temptation. And so God says, look, I did it every day because I was trying to teach you something. You need the word from me more than you need daily bread. So I'm telling you, come back to me every day. Let's talk. I'm going to provide for your needs. But as I'm doing so, it's in the context of relationship. Now, I want to bring up the next thing, which is this idea of community, which I mentioned last week. Notice it's a prayer for our bread to be given to us. I said last week, this is a communal prayer. So he says, give us this day our daily bread. And notice, as we saw last week, when we look up here, all of the pronouns, remember every pronoun in here is what? Singular or plural? Plural, all of them. There is not one singular request in this entire prayer. Not one. Now, we turn it into a singular thing because that's what we do in the West. We're all about being individual. But Jesus says, here is your basic model for prayer, and it's always community. And so, now as I come to this, that means even my daily needs. Notice he doesn't swap the singular and say, okay, you're going to be kind of praying communally. But of course, it's your bread for yourself. Jesus says, no. Even when it is your daily necessities, it's a communal prayer. Give us our bread. Give to us as a community the things that we need. Friends, that means it is not enough to have my own needs met. Thank you, Jesus. And I go on. It means I'm concerned for the needs of others. Because if I'm not, I cannot pray this prayer. It's not possible. It's not give me my bread. Jesus understands pronouns. He gets how they work. He knows the difference between singular and plural. Okay? He used plural for a reason. It is not enough that I'm concerned about mine. And, you know, well, and I'm also concerned about my family, Lord. It's the community. And if the community has needs that are not met, that is my concern. That requires my prayers. That requires my labor. Now, and in the spirit of what we've been talking about, if I pray, Lord, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done. And then I go and I do not do the will of God. I do not labor for the kingdom of God. What am I? A hypocrite. Okay. Let's come to this petition. Lord, give us the things we need. And then I go and I don't put feet to my prayers by actually caring for others. What am I? A hypocrite. That's exactly right. Remember the whole context of this prayer. Jesus is saying, don't pray like the hypocrites. Here are the ways they do it. Well, when we come to this pattern for prayer, it's the same thing. When we ask for our bread, it's implicit in that prayer is, Lord, show me, are there areas and ways I can work to make sure the needs of others are cared for? You have blessed me. You have watched over me. I want to make sure that other people are cared for. And so this becomes a theme in the New Testament because the prayer focuses on all of life. So notice here, I'll give you three verses where we see this in the New Testament. In Romans 12:13, the Apostle Paul writes, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Okay, notice there are people who are in need and God says we are to share with them. And in fact, he says we are to practice hospitality, which in our mindset, hospitality just kind of arises at a particular time. But Paul says, no, make it a practice. It's a regular part of who you are. In Ephesians 4:28, an amazing verse, Paul says, here's what happens when you become a Christian. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. And we want to say, okay, stop and put a period there. But God doesn't. We would probably even put the period and say, just don't steal anymore. But God says, no, you don't steal. You have to work doing something useful with his own hands. Why? That he may have something to share with those in need. God says, here's your natural bent. Your natural bent is to take from others. But when you come into Christ, When you become a follower of Jesus, you not only stop taking from others, you start working and working hard, and you do it so that I'll have enough for me and I'll have enough to be able to share with others. That is the effect of the gospel of Christ. That's what it does in our lives. One last verse, 1 Timothy 6:18. Paul is speaking to Timothy about how to speak to the rich. And he says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And friends, I need not point out to us that we Americans are the 1%. Y'all realize that? The real poverty in this earth. And it calls out to us to say, give us this day our daily bread. It's not just me. It's not just my family. Not even just me and my family and a few close friends. God, I am concerned that others have their needs met. And I want to be rich in good deeds. I want to be generous. I want to be willing to share. And let me tell you something. When the Father sees that heart, it is pleasing to him, and he is delighted to pour into your lap, pressed down, shaken over, running out, because he says, you're going to be given to somebody else. You're going to be extending it to somebody else. Friends, that needs to be our prayer, as we've seen, we've talked in this church time and time again about it. God promises to us as the children of Abraham, he blesses us, but why does he bless us? To be a blessing, never to consume it on myself. Always that it might be poured out to others. And so in this prayer, we're concerned communally. Now, with that, this prayer also points to one other thing, and there's no way I would pass this by, and that is because of what we see about the manna in the wilderness, the bread, a prayer for bread is always a prayer that we would recognize the true bread. And who is the true bread? Jesus. Always, the Bible always points to Jesus. If you're not seeing Jesus, go back and read it again. You're missing something here. And so this is a prayer to point us to Jesus, the true bread. Again, remember in Deuteronomy 8:3, when Moses is talking to the children of Israel about manna, he says this, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Friend, it is not enough that you have bread and more than enough bread. It is not enough that you got houses and cars and all things. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. All of that other stuff is going to fade away. All of that other stuff is here today and gone tomorrow. All of that other stuff can be taken from you and I in a moment. The one thing cannot be, will not be, is Jesus Christ. And God says, I'm calling you to look daily to me for your basic needs, to remind you what you really need. What you really need is the word from my mouth. And who is the word of the Father now in flesh appearing? It is Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, in reflecting on the manna text, tells us this in John chapter 6. He refers to himself in this way. John chapter 6, verses 35, and then we'll look down at 48 to 50. The whole sermon is an exposition on the manna in the wilderness. And he says, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and may not die. Even when God provided manna in the wilderness, Jesus says, they still died. Because that manna feeds your body, but it does not touch your soul. I, Jesus says, am the true bread that comes out of heaven. Manna was just a type. Manna was just a shadow. It was just a pointer to me, because what you really need is me. Jesus is the true bread we need. Jesus is the bread that satisfies our deepest longings. If you and I are honest, you long for, you need something more than food. And so do I. It cannot satisfy what we really crave. We are restless. until we find rest in Him. We are hungry until we have fed on Jesus Christ. And every day that we cry out to God for bread, it needs to remind you and me that, Father, my deepest need this day is I need Jesus. Father, I am so prone to wander. I am so prone to eat the junk food that this world wants to provide. Father, cause me to feast on Christ and to not look anywhere else. And friends, how often do you and I need to feast on Him? Every day. Every day. There is not a day goes by that you and I do not need to feast upon Jesus Christ. Every day should point us to Him. If you wake up tomorrow and you pray this prayer, when you say, give us this day our daily bread, that is a prayer, Jesus, today we need you. Every day when you eat your meals and you sit down later today, and I hope you practice giving thanks to God and saying, Father, in a world of need, in a world where millions are going today and they won't have a bite to put in their mouth, you have richly provided for me. Father, I am grateful. That also ought to be a prompting to say, I am grateful that I live in a place that is saturated with the gospel of Christ. There are billions that have no access. And I have it everywhere. It is all around me. Your shelves are lined with Bibles, and so are mine. We freely gather together and proclaim God's word. If you miss it one Sunday, you can jump on the internet and download it tomorrow. Friends, that is a privilege for you and me. And every day when you eat and you thank God, we ought to be reminded of that. And as we pray and we eat, I want to encourage you, again, it's a communal thing. Is it enough that I've got Jesus? Who else needs to have Jesus? The community around me needs Christ. And there is a world that is starving for true bread. And friends, you don't have to go to some far off shore. You are on mission. And so am I. Right the second we walk out these doors, you're on mission. There is a world that needs Jesus Christ. And we have the privilege of offering food to starving men and women. They may be rich, they may be millionaires, and they are starving. And you and I have the privilege of saying, here's what you're looking for. You're not going to find it in your boats. You're not going to find it in your houses, in your stock options. What you need is free. It's the bread of life. That's what we are given. Now let's talk about applying the word, and we will come to the Lord's table. The first thing in applying the word is, I want to tell you, if you've never come to Jesus Christ, you need to come to Him today. Today is the day of salvation. Do not simply settle for physical bread. I'm not downplaying. Friends, it is important to have physical bread. God cares for our bodies. We need to eat and drink. But don't settle for just that. What you really deeply need is Jesus Christ. You were made for more than just this fallen, broken world. This world is a mess. Has been and is going to continue to be until Jesus returns. What you need and what I need is Jesus Christ. I urge you today, if you have never seen Him, the Apostle Paul tells us, don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of God's favor. If you have never responded to Jesus Christ, I urge you, look to Him today. The good news is, well, let me tell you the bad news. You can work as hard as you possibly want. You will never be acceptable to God. I don't care how hard you work, how much Bible you study, how many people you talk to about things, how whatever you do, you can become a missionary and go to some foreign country. All of that means nothing if you are not in Jesus Christ. The good news is He is all the righteousness you will ever need. He stands before the Father perfect as you and I stand there clothed in sin. So I urge you today, look to Him. Now, for those of us who are believers, I want to encourage you today, we're going to come to the table. And as we come to this table, I want you to do more than take a little piece of bread and drink a little juice. I want us to feast upon the living bread, Jesus Christ. This is a pointer to him. Our daily bread points to him. This table points to him, and it points to him now and in eternity. You know, I've said this prayer not only is about today, but it's kind of about the kingdom that is going to come at the end. The picture we're given in the scripture, we don't know all about the new heavens and the new earth, but what is it likened to when we finally are there on that day when we see Jesus? What's it called? The wedding supper of the Lamb, the wedding feast. We're going to sit at the table. Jesus said on the night he was betrayed, this is the last time I'm eating this feast until the kingdom comes. And then I'm going to sit down and eat it with you again. Friends, today, this is a pointer to us of Jesus in our life today and our need for him. It's also a pointer to us to be crying out and saying, Lord, I am looking for the day when my eyes open and sin is no more. Sorrow is no more. There is no more physical affliction and groaning and pain. Things are the way they ought to be. And Jesus, it won't be Brett breaking the bread. It's going to be you. I'm going to get the bread out of your hand. You're going to feed me. Everything I have longed for will be true. That's what we're reminded every time we come to this table. It shows us there is so much more yet to come. Friends, that's what your daily bread does for you. Now, as we do this, I want to encourage you, if you are a believer, this is your table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do need to be a Christian for our guests. That means you are trusting in nothing other than Jesus Christ for your salvation. You know that your only hope of salvation is Jesus and what he's done. There are no other gods. There aren't many ways to God. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. If you believe that, I encourage you to come down to the table and to feast. As we do this, I'm going to begin by reading an old hymn by Bernard of Clairvaux. Please listen to this, and then we will come to the table. Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts, thou fount of life, thou light of men, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to thee again. The truth unchanged hath ever stood. Thou savest those that on thee call. To them that seek thee, thou art good. To them that find thee, all in all. We taste thee, O thou living bread, and long to feast upon thee still. We drink of thee, the fountainhead, and thirst our souls from thee to fill. Our restless spirits yearn for thee wherever our changeful lot is cast. Glad when thy gracious smile we see, blessed when our faith can hold thee fast. Friends, as you come to the table this morning, look past the symbol and look to him who is the true bread, the true drink for your soul. For what I receive from the Lord Jesus, I pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out so that all of your sins may be forgiven. Drink from this, all of you, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Father, this morning, we come to this table as those who are hungry and those who are thirsty and those who recognize that what we need is Jesus. And Father, we come as those who recognize you have given us even our basic necessities in this world. But Father, more than that, you have given us Jesus Christ. He was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. Father, open our eyes this morning that we might see Jesus. Father, open the mouth of our soul, Father, that we might feast upon him. We've tried the things of this world. They leave us hungry. Father, we look to him. Feed us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As you get the elements, please hold on to them. We'll take them together in a couple of moments. And I encourage you, put your focus on Jesus. Look to him this morning as the living bread. Father, this morning as we hold this bread, we are reminded of Jesus' prayer that you would give us this day our daily bread. And Father, we confess that you are a God who has been good and who has met all of our daily needs. Father, you are a God who has created a world that somehow we can pop a seed into the soil and it produces 30, 60, 100 fold. God, you have given provision to us, and you've done this in spite of the fact that from the Garden of Eden we have rebelled. We have turned away, and yet you are a God who has met our needs. And so, Father, this morning at this table that much of the church calls the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving, we pronounce that we are thankful that you are a God who has provided for our basic needs, that you are a God to whom we can come and say, our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And that, Father, you delight to do that for us. Father, we thank you for all of your provisions. In Jesus' name, take and eat. But Father, as we pick up this cup, we realize this would not be a Christian meal if we stopped and said thanks for the food you give us and did not recognize our own sins. Father, if we did not recognize that what you give us is because of covenant, and that covenant is sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we are grateful that though we are those who have turned to the world, we have eaten and drank our fill of the junk food of this world. Father, when we have turned unfilled to you again, Lord, you are gracious and kind and forgiving in Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that what you give us is not as the world gives. Father, you don't give us things that don't satisfy. You have given us Jesus Christ. And Father, our hope that you will give him to us every single day until the day when we see you face to face, until the day when he returns. That hope is built, Lord, not on the fact that I'm more righteous today than I was yesterday, not because we have figured out a better plan to make things work, but because, Father, you are in covenant with us, and that covenant is dependent upon one thing and one thing only, the blood of Jesus Christ. And, Father, that blood cries out for mercy today as it did thousands of years ago. And, Father, that blood is sufficient to cover our sins today as it was thousands of years ago. And, Father, that blood will be sufficient now and through all eternity. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the covenant that secures us now and that gives us unending joy throughout eternity with you. In Jesus' name, take and drink. Jesus, we are so grateful that you are the living bread. All the other prophets and holy men and women of old could only point to the living bread. You are the living bread. We are so grateful, Jesus, that that is true of you. And we are grateful that you willingly give yourself to us. Father, as great as a miracle as it was that day by day your people went out and gathered manna, Father, how much more that your Son came down as the living bread and you graciously, freely give him to us. Father, I pray this week, each time we take a bite of food, We would be reminded that it is by your gracious kindness that we eat. And Father, each time we take a bite of food, I pray that we would remember what we really need is the living bread of Jesus Christ and that you have given him to us. And Father, each time we take a bite of food, I pray, Father, each day as we pray, give us this day our daily bread. I pray, Father, that we would look forward to the day when we sit at the table of God, feasting and drinking forever with you. Father, may that joy fill us. May that hope fire us to go forth to labor, Father, for you, for your kingdom, and for the good of others, to give them physical bread, but even more the bread of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would do this through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. And we will conclude with a word of benediction and blessing. I encourage you by faith to reach out and receive the blessing of your God. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion, the city of our God. Go forth under the blessing of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Bay Ridge Christian Church. To learn more about our church or to download more teachings and resources, please visit bayridgechristianchurch.org.